أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال تعالى ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى صدق الله العظيم وعن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إلى آخر الحديث أو كما قال عليه الصلاة Most respected elders and brothers, in the narrations and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, They are profound lessons that are relevant today. They were relevant yesterday, and they will be relevant tomorrow. In fact, they will be relevant till the day of Qiyamah. And this is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran Majid, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. And the gist of that verse is that this Nabi of Allah, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not speak out of his own desire, but rather that which he spoke was nothing but divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. It was wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaliq kainat, Allah who is the creator of the seven heavens and the earth. Allah had set down that piece of information or advice to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is our aqidah and our belief that Allah is hakim. Allah is all wise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living. There is no start to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither is there. Therefore, that which emanates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. Its relevance is forever. It was beneficial then, it is beneficial now, and it will continue to remain beneficial till the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly those of a general nature, will continue to be relevant. And therefore, when we listen to these advices, we should be able to apply it today also. In this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, his mother's sister was none other than Maymuna radiallahu anha, who was the respected Muslim, who is known as Ummul Mu'mineen. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are known as the mothers of the believers. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, wa azwajuhu ummahatukum, that the noble wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are like mothers to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why we say Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen Maymuna radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen Safiya radiallahu anha, because these are great personalities in our eyes. So nevertheless, his maternal aunt was Maymuna radiallahu anha. This makes us understand the great proximity that he enjoyed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being on the one hand the cousin, and on the other hand being having his maternal aunt married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made special dua for him. It's mentioned in one narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with regards to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anha, who was cousin. Of course, there was a large age gap between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was still very young. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua, Allahumma faqqihu fi ad-din wa 'allimhu at-ta'wil. Oh Allah, teach this child the proper understanding of the Quran and Majid, and grant him a profound wa faqqihu fi ad-din, and give him a good jurisprudic understanding of the deen of Islam. And to that end, the scholars in the field of tafsir, of the commentary of the Quran and Majid, they regard Abdullah ibn Abbas as the leader of the Mufassirin. Ra'isul Mufassirin, the leader of the Mufassirin. This was the effect of the beautiful and noble dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he says, he narrates the hadith, he said, كُنْتُ خَلْفَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one day I was sitting behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the conveyance. Our Nabi of Allah, If there was anyone worthy of being called the king and being treated as the king, it would have been none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had such a high degree of humility. He thought nothing of himself. And this is a lesson that we can learn. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran and Majid, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That in this Nabi of Allah, there is a beautiful example for you. Take lesson from it. That here you have an individual who has been blessed with such wonderful qualities, who, if we may say, is the very, you know, the heights of character, of nobility, of speciality, being the leader of all the Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader of the Anbiya. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down and blesses him with the revelation. The Quran and Majid is revealed upon him. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an embodiment of humility. Today we just achieved something. Our condition is this, that there's some achievement and it gets to our head. And we were looking for people that, don't you know I am so and so? Okay, aap jante ho main kaun hu? You know who I am. That's how we are. And yet the Nabi of Allah was everything. But he thought nothing of himself. He was an embodiment of humility. And just to display the great humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is described when the Nabi of Allah gained victory in Makkatul Mukarrama. And we know, just to understand, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was living in Makkatul Mukarrama, a city which he dearly loved, it was beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam such that when the Nabi of Allah left Makkatul Mukarrama, he looked towards Makkah and he said, "Oh Makkah, we love you very dearly. Had it not been for our people, we would never have left you." But we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced discrimination, torture, you know, an attack on his character, if we may say in today's time, character assassination, you know, an entire plot that was initiated to destroy and tarnish the reputation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His companions were attacked, they were tortured, it was made practically impossible for them to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah had granted them permission to migrate. Despite all of that, the Nabi of Allah then goes to Madinah to Munawwara, and again the people of Makkah at that time, who were mushrikeen, launch a number of attacks against the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara, until eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that the Nabi of Allah now enters Makkatul Mukarrama victorious. Now imagine, after so many years of trial and tribulation and torture from these individuals, and now you get the opportunity to gain victory over them. What usually happens? We are those people. Bring them here. Let's line them up and execute them. That's what usually happens. Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran and Majid. إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً أَفْسَدُوهَا. That generally the tendency is that when a king gains victory over a town, then what he does, he completely turns the town upside down. وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَذِلَّةً. And he takes the people who are in leadership and he disgraces them in front of the entire population. That's his way of projecting his power and his authority. But it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he entered Makkatul Mukarrama, in fact, one sahabi made the statement when he saw one of the mushrikeen as they were marching towards into Makkatul Mukarrama. So he made the statement to him. He said, "Al yawm yawmul malhama." That today is the day of revenge. The Sahaba were human beings. They also felt, you know, this opportunity. So this particular mushrik, he then came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he lodged a complaint. He said, "Your companion has made the statement that today is the day of revenge." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recalled the Sahabi who was holding the flag and transferred the flag to a particular person, that no, al-yawm yawmul marhama, that today is the day of mercy. Today is the day of mercy. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his condition was such that when he entered Makkatul Mukarrama, his gaze was lowered. The Nabi of Allah, his beard was touching the saddle of his animal, and tears were rolling down his cheeks, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An embodiment of humility. That, oh Allah, I could never have achieved what I've achieved now had it not been for your help and had not been for your assistance. That is what is termed as humility. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite having such a high pedestal and being the Nabi of Allah, but he has behind him sitting a young lad. He could have said, I'm the king, but nobody comes near me. I'll have bodyguards on this side and that side. No, the Nabi of Allah had this young lad sitting behind him. And that was an opportunity now to teach this youngster some lessons. He said, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimatin. I want to teach you something. And I think I've mentioned this before, that we who are in the positions that we are, sometimes a person is a father, sometimes a person is an uncle, sometimes a person is a teacher, sometimes a person is a manager in his particular department or workplace. We should always be looking for an opportunity to empower others. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence we find that the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became such that they were called guiding stars. How did they develop this quality? It was because the Nabi of Allah empowered them. He empowered them and took every opportunity to guide them and to teach them such that they became guiding stars for others. And here we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a young lad, he said, oh young lad, inni u'allimu, I will teach you something. A lesson for the youngsters too. That we sometimes take it for granted, those who are senior above us. We will just lead our lives as we wish to. But we have to understand that those who are senior in our community, in our society, in our fields, yes, we may have a good amount of theory. The person is a doctor, he's got all the theory with regards to the medical field. The person is an engineer, he's got all the theory with regards to that field of engineering. Again, we'd advise the musallis who are coming in now while the bayan is on, you can perform your salah if it is tahiyyatul masjid that you need to perform. You can go to the basement area and perform the salah. It disturbs the talk. Time will be allocated after the talk for the salah and the sunnahs to be performed. Nevertheless, we find that in every field, a person can develop the theory. But to gain experience in that field, there you require expertise, you require people of experience. And if you will work under those people, so to say, a kind of a mentorship program, where that senior doctor now, and we find that in the field of medicine, the doctor has to do his internship, where he works under some senior doctor. You find engineers also, they work underneath a senior engineer, who's got years of experience. And sometimes that experience can allow a person to progress in leaps and bounds, just because of the experience of the next person. That is why they say in Arabic, سَلِ الْمُجَرَّبْ وَلَا تَسْأَلِ الْحَكِيمِ. That you should ask an experienced person, but don't necessarily ask an intelligent person. Because the person with experience, he's gone through it, he's seen the sun and the rain and the shade, and he will be able to tell you that, listen, whilst this may work theoretically, in practice it won't necessarily work. So we find that the youngsters should also be open to learning from their seniors. And the seniors should be also be willing to impart and empower those who are junior to them. And of course, in imparting those who are junior, there's a method and a technique to use. Here we find that the Nabi of Allah was not judgmental. Neither was he condescending to this sahabi. Sometimes the youngster will say, you listen to me, I know more than you. I saw you in your napkins. You know, the uncle will make the statement. Now that poor youngster will say, I rather not even ask this uncle, because I feel like he makes me feel even more insignificant in front of him. So we also have to learn how to teach the youngsters in such a way that they are able to come forward. They are able to learn from us. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh young lad, I will teach you something. And he says, احفظ الله يحفظك. You protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in turn Allah will protect you. Now the question is, does Allah require any protection from us? Is Allah in need of protection? Allah Ta'ala is not in need of any protection. In fact, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا, that Allah is the best of protectors. Allah is the one who grants protection. Allah is not in need of any protection whatsoever. But here ulama-i kiram have explained that it means احفظ أوامر الله أحكام الله, that protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things which Allah has prohibited from you, that these are those things which are completely prohibited. You should protect yourself from engaging in that. Protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Protect those things which are there in disseminating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In turn, Allah will grant you protection. So we learn that if a person wants protection, he wants the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's incumbent that we also make an effort to protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. For example, our salah. Are we protecting this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives? And to what level and degree are we protecting it? We are all weak, we all succumb to our mistakes and our errors, but we continuously make an effort that, Ya Allah, I will make an intention now to perform all 5 daily salah, as far as possible. And if I missed my Fajr salah this morning, I will make an effort to make the qada of that Fajr salah. But that's my way of protecting the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that in my own life, Allah ta'ala's commands have been violated. No salah in my life. Our late Maulana Patel Sahib used to say that we talk about the rising of Islam, yet we only rise after the sun has risen. The person is talking about, in fact he mentioned that one youngster wrote to him that, you know, my father, he goes on these radio stations and these Islamic radio stations, and he gives his input about how we can change the world. And he's giving his input till late at night, sometimes 10, 11, 12 o'clock, he's phoning in, he's giving his input that this is what we can do, and this is a strategy that can be implemented, and that strategy, and this strategy. But unfortunately, he doesn't perform any salah. So now that kind of talk, without any action, you know, they say talk is cheap. Remember, they say actions speak louder than words. We have to show our action before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with regards to that, Allah speaks about the Sahaba-i-Kiram. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. The Sahaba were such individuals that they put it into action. Their tijarat, their buying and selling, their trade, it did not divert them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the establishment of salah. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. And one of the salient features is that they feared the day of judgment when they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will have to account for their deeds before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that fear, born out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made it easy for them to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah ta'ala bless us with that mahabbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person loves someone, in the world of illicit love relationships, you'll find a person is in love with a girl in another continent. He'll spend thousands of rands, and he'll travel thousands of kilometers just to meet that illicit beloved of his, just for sometimes a day or two. That love drives a person to do something. Imagine if we develop that kind of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then to perform our salah will not only become easy, we'll enjoy it. May Allah ta'ala bless us with that quality. So he said, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظَ, protect the commands of Allah, Allah will protect you. And then further, I'm skipping here and there. He said that, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you have to ask from someone, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we affirm in our salah, in every single rakat. We say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we ask for help and support. This is something that should be in our hearts and our lives. Any challenging situation that we have, first turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perform those 2 rakats and raise your hands. And even if you don't perform the 2 rakat salah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I need this. I'm asking you first. You are the provider. And this is what we are affirming in every single rakat. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. That Allah, we ask from you. So he's teaching this youngster. He's strengthening his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's strengthening his conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And then again, establishing the fact that Allah controls this world. It is in the total control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says to him that, know, O young lad, that that which is meant for you will come to you. If the entire nation gathers to try and benefit you in some way, they will only be able to benefit you that much to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to benefit you. And if the entire community and nations and countries get together to try and harm you in some way, they will only be able to harm you that much that Allah grants permission for you to be harmed. In another narration similar to this one, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. That know very well that that which has afflicted you, it would never have missed you. And that which has missed you was never meant to have afflicted you. And then in another narration, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. That habituate and develop the habit that you constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in moments of prosperity. What will happen when you are in adversity? Allah will remember you. Generally, our tendency is that when we are in trouble, then we go onto the musalla. Then we are crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that too is a good thing, mashallah. Very good. But the ideal scenario is that when Allah has blessed us with prosperity, when things are going well in our life, that is the time that we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I didn't deserve this, but you blessed me with it. I have good health. This morning I woke up and alhamdulillah, there are no aches and pains in my body. Everything went well. Allah, I thank you for this wonderful. I am giving this little money out of my appreciation for your bounty upon me. So you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in moments of prosperity. يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Allah will recognize you in the moments of adversity. May Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, towards the end of the hadith, and this perhaps we could tie it up to the current situation in the global ummah, that وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That know very well, for those who are coming now, we are narrating the beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an. When he was a young lad, Rasulullah s.a.w. gave him such a beautiful holistic advice. The first advice, that you should protect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In turn, Allah will grant you protection. Then, when you are asking anything, ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any help that you require, support that you require, seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know very well that that which has missed you was never meant to have afflicted you. And that which afflicted you was never meant to have missed you. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during moments of prosperity. Allah will recognize you when you are going through adversity. And finally, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Know that Allah's help comes with patience. Today we find that we are living in a society where we are very accustomed to things which are instant. You know, we have, you know, instant meals and instant this and instant that, instant messaging services. You know, you send a WhatsApp message, it's sent immediately. In fact, we get impatient. Whatever, he's not reading the message. I don't see the ticks there. The ticks are not there. We get impatient. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't work that way. We haven't found that in the system of Allah there's been any change. That it still takes so many months for that baby to be born. Have we heard that in 2025, now there was a 50% discount that the baby is born, you know, in just, 3 months or so many months. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got his system. If we look at, 100 years back or 50 years back, that's how long it took. The child, the milestones of the child remain the same. So Allah ta'ala, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. Allah has maintained his system. Musa alayhi salam, it is said that Musa alayhi salam made dua. The Nabi of Allah made dua that Allah grant us protection from Fir'aun. And Allah Ta'ala answered his dua after 40 years. So sometimes we become very impatient. We're making dua, nothing's happening. Murisapa, making dua, nothing's happening. Allah Ta'ala doesn't answer us the way we want it to be answered. Allah has got a system. So wa'lam anna an-nasra ma'a sabr. That the help of Allah Ta'ala comes when it is coupled with patience. We have to learn to be patient. Continue making dua. Musa alayhi salam made dua for 40 years. It doesn't mean it's going to take 40 years for your dua to be accepted. But if that what happened to him, why am I being impatient? So learn to develop the quality of patience and tolerance. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. And know that with every hardship, there is an opening. That Allah Ta'ala will create an opening. That hardship will come, but there is an opening after at the end of that hardship. And finally, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That with every difficulty, there is ease. In fact, ulama ikram explain that Allah makes it such that with one difficulty, there's always two eases. There's always two eases. So remember that at the end of any challenging situation, there is ease for us. And we make dua and we take comfort from this. That may Allah, the steadfastness of the people of Gaza, on behalf of the global ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their patience. That remember, we may feel that so much of oppression and aggression and injustice is taking place. But as they say, the wheels of justice turn very slowly. But at the end of it all, if we look at South Africa as a scenario, at how many years of apartheid, how many years of oppression, how many years of suppression, but finally Allah, at the end of it all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed and turned the tables. So Allah ta'ala has got his system, and we have, and we take comfort and solace from that, that inshallah we will see, we make dua that in our lifetime, Allah makes it such that we see Masjid al-Aqsa restored to the hand of the Muslimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore the dignity, the power, the might of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.